Have you ever, thought about like why, your state bar association, why they have so many rules about for out of state lawyers, or like why insurance companies have all these like regulations that are specific to a state?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, part of the answer goes all the way back to 1869 and a Supreme Court case called Paul v. Virginia.
Paul Virginia.
Yeah. So we're going to dive deep into this case today. And yeah, it really is like a foundation, I think, for understanding like how state and federal power really interact, especially when it comes to regulating businesses and like the whole idea of corporate rights.
Absolutely. And, this case, Paul v. Virginia, really kind of boils down to this. Back in 1866, Virginia, they had this law, and it basically said if you're an insurance company and you're operating in Virginia, but you're from out of state, you have to deposit bonds with the state treasurer to be able to do business there.
Oh, so like out of state companies had an extra hoop to jump through that local Virginia companies didn't. Yeah, exactly. So, it was kind of like an extra layer of regulation for these companies that weren't based in Virginia.
Okay, so then where does this Samuel Paul guy come into the picture?
Well, Samuel Paul was an insurance agent, and he was representing a bunch of insurance companies that were based in New York.
So he's like right in the thick of this.
Exactly. And he really took issue with this bond deposit requirement.
Oh, really? So like his companies were okay with the other Virginia regulations? It was just this bond thing that was a problem.
Yeah, that seems to have been the main sticking point for them. They were like okay with most of the other rules, but they just didn't want to put up these bonds.
Interesting. So did they just ignore the rule then? Like what happened?
Well, Paul, he kept selling insurance policies in Virginia, even though they weren't putting up the bonds. And you can guess what happened next.
Oh, I bet the state of Virginia wasn't too thrilled about that.
Nope, they weren't. They ended up fining him $50.
$50. Wow, that's a pretty hefty fine, especially back then, right?
Oh, yeah. If you adjust that for inflation, it was a significant amount of money back in those days.
So what did Paul do? Did he just pay the fine or what?
Well, he decided to fight back, and he took his case all the way to the Supreme Court. He wanted to challenge the constitutionality of Virginia's law.
Wow, so he went all the way to the top with this. What were his arguments, though? Like, how did he think this law was unconstitutional?
Well, he had two main arguments, and they both have their roots in the Constitution. His first argument was based on the Privileges and Immunities Clause, and that's in Article 4, Section 2 of the Constitution.
Okay, the Privileges and Immunities Clause. So remind me, what exactly does that clause do?
Well, the Privileges and Immunities Clause, it's basically designed to make sure that citizens of one state are treated the same as citizens of any other state.
Oh, okay. So it's all about making sure there's no like discrimination against people from other states.
Exactly. It's meant to prevent states from, like creating barriers for people from out of state,
Yeah.
coming in and doing business or just living their lives.
Makes sense, keeping things fair across state lines and all that.
Yeah, exactly. So Paul's argument was that this Virginia law was discriminating against these New York insurance companies because they were from out of state and that, violated the Privileges and Immunities Clause.
Okay, I see. So that's his first argument. And what was the second one?
Right. His second argument was all about the Commerce Clause. And, that one gives Congress the power to regulate commerce between states.
Right, interstate commerce. So what did that have to do with insurance?
Well, Paul argued that the insurance business, by its very nature, was interstate commerce because you have companies operating across state lines all the time.
Oh, I see. So he was basically saying Virginia shouldn't be able to regulate these companies because it should be a federal issue.
Exactly. He was saying that insurance regulation should be under the control of the federal government, not individual states like Virginia.
Okay, so two pretty big constitutional arguments there. What did the Supreme Court say?
Well, in a unanimous decision, the Supreme Court rejected both of Paul's arguments and their reasoning. In this case, it really laid down some foundational ideas about corporate rights and federal power. And these ideas, they've continued to shape legal thinking for a long time.
Wow, a unanimous decision. That's pretty decisive. So let's unpack it all, starting with the Privileges and Immunities Clause issue. Why didn't the court think that applied to corporations?
Well, the court, they said that the term citizens in the Privileges and Immunities Clause, it only refers to like actual people, individuals, human beings. It doesn't apply to corporations.
Oh, so they were making a distinction between a corporation and a person.
Yeah, they were saying that a corporation isn't a citizen in the same way that you or I are citizens.
Okay, so because a corporation isn't a citizen, it doesn't get the same protections under the Privileges and Immunities Clause.
That's exactly it. The court said that corporations are basically creations of the state that gives them their charter,
Yeah.
so they don't have the same inherent rights as individuals do.
I see. So they're saying a corporation from New York isn't really a citizen of New York in the same way that like an actual person who lives there is.
Right. They're not natural persons who are, you know, part of the body politic. They're more like artificial entities created by law.
That's a pretty important distinction. So I guess that means Virginia was okay to treat these out-of-state insurance companies differently.
Yeah, that was the essence of the court's holding on that point. They basically said that states had more leeway to regulate these foreign corporations compared to how they would regulate individual citizens coming from other states.
Interesting. And the court even used the word comedy in their decision, right? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, comedy. It's basically like a principle of mutual respect and deference between different legal jurisdictions. You know, it's the idea that one state will generally respect the laws and decisions of another state or country.
Okay, so like states cooperating and playing nice with each other.
Yeah, that's the general idea. But the court here, they said that this principle of commendation, it doesn't automatically apply to corporations. States can decide under what conditions they'll allow corporations from other states to do business within their borders.
Oh, that's interesting. So a state can say, we'll recognize your company, but you have to play by our rules.
Exactly. And that's basically what they said about Virginia. Virginia was within its rights to impose this bond requirement on out-of-state insurance companies, even if they didn't require the same thing from local companies.
Okay, that makes sense. So the privileges and immunities clause argument didn't work out for Paul and his companies. What about the commerce clause argument? How did the court shoot that one down?
All right, so for the commerce clause, the court took a very narrow view of what actually counted as commerce back then.
Okay, so what did they say insurance was if it wasn't commerce?
Well, they said insurance policies were basically just simple local contracts, contracts of indemnity against loss by fire. That's how they described them.
So they were focusing on the fact that insurance was about a specific agreement between two parties within a state.
Exactly. They said that like making an insurance contract, assessing risk handling claims, all that happened locally within a single state.
So they were drawing a line between that and like the actual trade of goods across state lines.
Right. They didn't think selling insurance across state lines was the same as like shipping corn or manufactured goods from one state to another.
Okay, so the insurance transaction was local in their eyes, even if the company was based in a different state.
Yeah, they thought the heart of it was this personal agreement about a specific risk located in a particular place. And this view fit in with the way a lot of people thought about economics back then.
Oh, yeah, like that laissez-faire kind of thinking.
Exactly. They wanted to keep the federal government out of economic matters as much as possible, and that included things like insurance regulation.
Makes sense for the time period, but it's definitely different from how we think about insurance today. You know, it's a huge national and international industry now.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, this narrow definition of commerce, it's stuck around for a long time, for like 75 years.
Wow. So when did that finally change?
Well, it wasn't until 1944 in a case called United States v. Southeastern Underwriters Association.
Southeastern Underwriters. Okay, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, that case finally overturned the part of Paul v. Virginia that said insurance wasn't commerce.
So that's when insurance finally came under federal regulation.
Right. The court finally recognized that the insurance business was truly interstate in nature, and so it needed to be regulated at the federal level.
Interesting how these cases build on each other and change things over time. So can we just sum up the main takeaways from Paul v. Virginia just to make sure we're all clear?
Sure thing. So the two big holdings from Paul v. Virginia were, first, corporations aren't considered citizens under the Privileges and Immunities Clause of Article 4 that only applies to natural persons.
Okay, so that's a big one for corporate rights.
And the second big holding was that the business of insurance wasn't commerce, according to the Commerce Clause. So it wasn't subject to federal regulation at that time.
Right. They saw insurance as local contracts, not interstate trade. And these holdings, they really shaped how states could regulate businesses for decades after that.
Absolutely. Paul v. Virginia really reinforced the power of individual states to regulate all kinds of businesses operating within their borders, not just insurance, but it also had a big impact on banking and healthcare too.
And you know, it's really fascinating to compare this case with how corporate personhood developed later on, you know, under the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, like in Santa Clara County v. Southern Pacific Railroad in 1886, that case really pushed the idea that corporations were persons under the 14th Amendment, and that gave them certain constitutional protections, even though Paul v. Virginia had said they weren't citizens under Article 4.
Right. So you have this interesting evolution of thought about what a corporation is and what rights it has. It's like this ongoing legal conversation.
It really is. And yeah. You know, Paul v. Virginia, it really reflects the legal and economic thinking of its time.
Yeah.
You know, that pre-New Deal era where the Commerce Clause was interpreted very narrowly and states had a lot of power to regulate things on their own.
Yeah. And then Southeastern Underwriters comes along decades later and totally flips the script on the Commerce Clause issue, which shows you how the Supreme Court can adapt its interpretation of the Constitution over time to deal with changing circumstances.
Exactly. And it makes you think, you know, if the court didn't consider corporations to be citizens back then, how do we reconcile that with the huge amount of constitutional rights that corporations seem to have today?
It's a really good question. You know, Paul v. Virginia, it's like the starting point for a bigger discussion about corporate personhood and how power is balanced in our federal system. You know, it raises all these questions about how industries that operate across state lines should be regulated in the 21st century and how our definition of commerce might need to change to keep up with our modern economy.
You've hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
You know, Paul v. Virginia, it might be over 150 years old, but it still has a lot to teach us about the relationship between state and federal power and the role of corporations in our society.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
It certainly does.